In Ohio, the natural gas industry has meant economic development for some struggling communities.
Fracking was something that was of great interest. It had a lot of promise to it.
But for other residents and landowners, the fracking industry has been nothing but trouble.
It's like fighting the most powerful people in the world, and you still can't win.
I'm Kara Holsapple. This week on the Allegheny Front, a special show, an investigation into how fracking is impacting people in Ohio. From complaints about strange odors and traffic, to a push to establish a health registry for people who live near oil and gas infrastructure.
If we're going to do this, why are we not attempting to keep track so that we might be able to help people if they have a problem?
We ask the question, who's listening when it comes to fracking in Ohio? That's today on the Allegheny Front. Stay with us. A decade ago, people in Ohio hadn't heard much about fracking for natural gas in the state. But since then, the ups and downs of the gas industry have literally changed the landscape in parts of eastern Ohio, from countryside to what some would say is now an industrial zone. For some people, that's meant new jobs or payments to lease their land. But the new well pads, pipelines, compressor stations, and waste injection wells haven't been welcomed by everyone. Citizens have filed thousands of complaints with the state about everything from gas leaks and crumbling roads to odors and noise they blame on energy development. In this special series, the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant looks at some of the claims made by Ohio residents and how state regulators have responded. To begin, Julie visits one Ohio family as they sell their farm, saying they feel abandoned by the state and that the money they've made from the industry hasn't been worth the costs.
Carrie and Jeff Bond's house in the hills of Noble County, Ohio, is nearly empty. An antique bed frame, old board games, a power washer are among hundreds of their possessions laid out in the garage, on the driveway, outside the barn, ready to be auctioned off. They're selling their house and 103-acre farm. Carrie Bond says they need to leave.
It's been difficult, but today, for some reason, I have just this peace because we're finally going to get out of here.
Bond and her sister Jody Carter watch as each item comes up for sale. Both are retired nurses, small women in floral dresses with long graying hair and sad eyes. Jody tears up waiting for the property where her sister has lived for 40 years to be sold.
This is where we've had all our family gatherings, you know, the kids play in the woods and the pond, and it's just sad. It's sad to lose it all to no control.
The reason Bond says they need to leave is why many in the crowd are intrigued by this auction. The lucrative underground mineral rights are for sale.
And we are the first people in Noble County to sell our working mineral rights.
The natural gas industry has built up around them in recent years, including a well pad owned by Antero Resources, a quarter mile uphill from the house. Four lines extract gas from under the property, which means royalties.
Last month's statement was $42,000 is what their royalty check was last month.
$42,000 a month? Why would someone forgo that kind of money, leave their farm and their family? The Bonds say the gas industry that's made the money has also sullied their land, water, and air, and made them distrust government regulators. As Jody Carter puts it,
it's like fighting the most powerful people in the world, and you still can't win.
Once the fracking boom took off, the family was forced by the state to sign a lease on their property, which is allowed under Ohio law. A map by the nonprofit Frack Tracker Alliance shows the Bonds' rural home is now in the midst of 123 producing wells within 5 miles of their house, plus six compressor stations. The Allegheny Front confirmed that the Bond family made numerous complaints to various state agencies concerning well pad noise and bright lights and pollution. Carrie Bond talked about it over the phone.
Every tree in the yard was dying. My cats died. My chickens died, you know. We got sheep dying.
Bond says the family got odd rashes, headaches, dizziness, and her grandson developed a breathing problem. She complained to the Ohio Department of Health, but the health inspector's air testing found no health hazard. She complained to the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency.
They came in finally with repeated calling.
The Ohio EPA declined to comment, but sent their investigation report to the Allegheny Front. It clarified that while the agency does not regulate noise or light pollution, it did test the air and found leaks from the well pad equipment of benzene and volatile organic compounds. Antero declined an interview because the bonds have a lawsuit against them unrelated to the environmental claims. But according to the EPA report, the leaks did not violate Antero's permit nor pose a health risk and were quickly fixed. But a growing body of evidence shows symptoms similar to the bonds are associated with gas development.
I really feel like we were let down by everybody in Ohio.
Then in early 2018, the bonds were awakened by a pipeline explosion and a fire on a nearby hillside. This is from a video posted to Facebook.
Jeff and I both looked at each other and were like, who do we call? What do we do? You don't know what to do, you know? You don't know whether to pick up your stuff and run for your life.
Noble County Commissioner Brad Peoples hears some complaints about the industry.
But I hear far more positives than negatives.
Peoples says it's helped many landowners and area businesses.
My wife and I own a pizza shop, and our business exploded with the oil and gas industry. So I wouldn't have a bad thing to say about it.
The county has gone from one hotel to four, and they're getting a Taco Bell.
In a county that's this small, if you kind of take up the cross for economic development, without the oil and gas industry, what would you target?
A recent industry report finds that from 2011 to 2015, fracking companies paid $43 million in property taxes to six eastern Ohio counties, including Noble. But Peoples admits there are downsides.
You talk to somebody that lives on a township road where water trucks have traveled 18 times a day, and it's destroyed roads.
The Allegheny Front analyzed complaints to ODNR between 2009 and 2018 and found more than 2,900 complaints were made about the oil and gas industry across the state.
Yeah, it has been a complete nightmare.
By 2013, ODNR started new categories of complaints about the industry, like those reported by Darla McConnell in Jefferson County.
The noise, the dirt, the traffic, the speeding, the lights, the backup beepers. Because it's so close to my house.
McConnell says sometimes more than a dozen semi-trucks would idle along their rural road. They knocked down the mailbox and ran her pregnant daughter's car into a ditch. We called McConnell after seeing her listed on ODNR's complaint log.
So I have called so many different people to try to get something done.
But ODNR does not regulate industry traffic once it leaves a well pad. And in rural areas like this, state regulations allow new wells as close as 100 feet from a house, school, or church. That's about a third of a football field. In Pennsylvania, it's required to be five times further.
It's been so bad, I wanted to put the house up for sale. But you're not going to be able to sell it because nobody's going to want to live with this crap going on.
McConnell is one of more than 100 people the Allegheny Front called from ODNR's complaint list. Of the 26 we interviewed, 18 said they were not satisfied with the state's response to their complaints. They told stories about their water turning orange overnight, about piles of dirt being dumped in their farm fields, about sulfur smells and fish kills. But those problems are not necessarily being heard by lawmakers.
I have not received the first call about a concern in that area.
This is State Senator Steve Wilson. He's chair of the Senate Energy and Public Utilities Committee.
We would never not listen to something of that nature.
Longtime environmental attorney Rick Solly, based in Columbus, says Ohio's government is not protecting people from the oil and gas industry.
There is no system anywhere in our government that can come to those people's aid, and it's just wrong. And it's a reality.
More than 2,600 oil and gas wells have been drilled in Ohio shale regions since 2010. That's according to ODNR's website. And federal statistics show that the state's production of natural gas also skyrocketed. In 2016, it was nearly 1.5 billion cubic feet. That's more than 18 times greater than it was in 2010. But Solly says regulations in Ohio have not kept pace to protect citizens. And it's not just how close well pads can be built to homes and schools. It's what he calls a loophole in the disclosure of chemicals used in drilling to allow for trade secrets and the lack of rules around waste from fracking. Sally says even when Ohio EPA tests air quality, like at that Antero well near the Bonds farm, and has the company fix the chemical leaks, it's not good enough.
Coming in after the fact and resoldering a joint that's been leaking carcinogenic gas outside someone's bathroom window isn't the best way to attack a multinational industry.
ODNR declined an interview, but in an email statement says the agency staff, quote, work every day on behalf of Ohioans to achieve a balance between protecting public health, safety, and the environment, and ensuring the wise use of natural resources for the benefit of all.
Final selling price, $1,230,000.
But Carrie Bond and her family say the state abandoned them. They auctioned off their house, farm, and mineral rights for more than $1 million and left Ohio. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
Fire number 37 and 75. We had a good day. Thank you.
Since this story first aired, Mark Bruce, administrative officer with ODNR, responded to our request for comment, saying his agency takes complaints seriously.
We're proud of the way our division has grown to oversee the changes experienced in Ohio's oil and gas industry over the last few years.
In August, ODNR, for the first time, proposed rules for fracking waste facilities. There's more to come. Stay tuned.
Support for the Allegheny Front comes from the Center for Environmental Research and Education at Duquesne University. Celebrating nearly 30 years of preparing environmental professionals, the center provides multidisciplinary undergraduate and graduate education with opportunities for research and internships, including the Environmental Science and Management Master's Degree and Professional Certificate programs. Applications for the spring and summer semesters are now being accepted. More information on the Center for Environmental Research and Education can be found at duq.edu/ESM.
This past summer, as the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant examined how gas companies impact local communities in Ohio, she took a closer look at an Ohio law that can force landowners to lease their underground mineral rights to energy companies.
In 2010, a landman from an energy company knocked on Patrick Hunkler and his wife Jean Bax's door, and it changed their lives.
Well, you know, I didn't know much about fracking.
He offered them $137 an acre for the mineral rights under their 21 acres in Belmont County in eastern Ohio.
That's probably the closest I ever came to signing a lease at $137.
They got 100 calls after that. By 2014, they were being offered $8,500 an acre. Jean Beck says the money might have been nice, but they had heard about water and air pollution from fracking.
No, I would have preferred to not sign a lease.
But still, her husband was open to the idea if the lease protected the air, water, and dark night sky.
That was never addressed. The only thing that they could offer us was money.
Then in 2017, they got a notice from the Ohio Department of Natural Resources called ODNR. Chesapeake Energy was seeking to unitize their property. That meant the state could force the family to sign a lease. Chesapeake declined an interview. Heidi Robertson is a professor of law and environmental studies at Cleveland State University.
We normally think of the rights of the landowner as being things like the right to decide what's done with your land or what's not done with your land.
But Robertson says that's not necessarily the case in Ohio when it comes to drilling for oil and natural gas. That's because the state adopted what's known as a unitization law in 1965 with requirements for the size and shape of land where a well can be drilled. These are called units, which usually range from 300 to 1,100 acres. Robertson says one unit can have hundreds of different landowners.
Then you have to have the agreement of all of the landowners in order to cobble together the rights to drill.
She says the problem for energy companies like Chesapeake and for people who want to lease their land comes when other landowners in the unit, like Patrick Hunkler and Jean Bax, say no to drilling.
It's almost like a veto, a single landowner being able to veto the ability of all the surrounding landowners to drill.
And to make money from the oil and gas. In Ohio, if a company gets 65% of landowners in a unit to agree to lease their mineral rights, it can use that unitization law to force unwilling landowners into leases. Since 2011, ODNR has approved 144 forced leases or unitizations through hearings in Columbus, like this one.
This hearing before the Ohio Department of Natural Resources.
This is not the Hunkler's case, but it's similar. This time, Ascent Resources has brought a geologist, an engineer, and a landman to testify along with a slew of attorneys. The company engineer testifies that Ascent's project is a $20 million investment. He says without the unleased tracts of land, the company would lose the ability to collect so much gas that the project would no longer be financially viable.
That would be the difference likely in what would be a project that Ascent Resources would pursue versus what we would not pursue.
This is the basis of whether ODNR issues a unitization order and forces holdout landowners to lease with the company, the profitability of the project. At Chesapeake's unitization hearing against his family, Patrick Hunkler asked the state to also consider his environmental concerns. But transcripts of Hunkler's hearing show ODNR told him they had no authority to consider that.
Hey, ODNR, we have concerns about our natural resources. Who can we talk to? They didn't listen to us in the hearing.
But Mark Bruce, administrative officer with ODNR, says the unitization process allows for citizens to comment.
Mineral owners have an opportunity to be heard verbally or in writing during the process, and their comments are always considered.
But the state has never ruled against an energy company in a unitization hearing. Bruce says that's because companies only apply once they've met the state requirements.
The law specifically states that the division must issue an order if the applicant meets the criteria.
Attorney Megan Hunter, who represented the Hunklers, says state law has been changed numerous times in recent years to favor energy companies over holdout landowners.
One side is really well represented, and the government is often aligned with them in these administrative forums, and the citizen is left to fend for themselves.
ODNR did issue orders for Chesapeake to unitize the Hunklers' property, but after constructing the well pad nearby, the company abruptly sold all its Ohio assets, leaving the family wondering what will happen next. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
So oil and gas infrastructure can have a big impact on landowners and residents. The building and operation of the wells themselves, construction of pipelines and processing stations, and then there's the waste. For her series, Who's Listening?, the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant looked at what happened when the sewage treatment plant in Warren, Ohio, near Youngstown, made a deal to accept fracking waste. Despite violating its discharge permit, Ohio regulators didn't step in until a private citizen and her attorney took matters into their own hands.
When fracking took off in eastern Ohio, it helped the struggling rural economy. But Leatra Harper worried that the trade-off would be people's health and the environment.
It weighs on your consciousness, and somebody's got to do something.
She started the Freshwater Accountability Project in response to the natural gas industry. Each fracked well uses millions of gallons of water mixed with sand and chemicals. Much of this brine flows back to the surface as waste. Harper heard that a company called Patriot Water Treatment had started working with the city of Warren in eastern Ohio to send frack waste through its sewage treatment plant.
And this is what I always say, my trip down the rabbit hole with the fracking industry.
It started with Tom Angelo, who at the time was director of Warren's sewage plant.
Fracking was something that was of great interest. It had a lot of promise to it.
Angelo says by 2009, the local economy had tanked in the recession, and Patriot's proposal promised $1 million a year in revenue.
So when you're looking at a $2.5 million deficit, you have choices.
The city chose to sign an agreement with Patriot. The company's president declined an interview. Angelo says Patriot would treat the frack waste, most of it from Pennsylvania and West Virginia, to remove heavy metals and other pollutants before sending it to the city sewage plant. From there, it would flow to the Mahoning River. It wasn't long after this when pollutants found in frack wastewater and linked with cancers and birth defects were being found in Pennsylvania's waterways. The state requested that drillers voluntarily stop sending wastewater to treatment plants in Pennsylvania. Leatra Harper wanted Warren, Ohio, to follow their lead.
We took it upon ourselves to appeal directly to Tom Angelo, giving him our concerns that were completely ignored.
At the state level, the Ohio EPA also tried to stop the city from taking frack waste. In 2012, the agency issued a new permit to Warren to discharge from its plant into the river. Environmental attorney Megan Hunter, who was working with Harper, says that permit had a surprise for the city.
Ohio EPA sticks a clause in there saying you can't accept oil and gas waste to the facility. That was Ohio EPA's backhanded way of saying no to Patriot.
The Ohio EPA declined to comment for this story. Warren and Patriot sued the state. Documents from the case show it was unclear whether the Ohio EPA or the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, called ODNR, had responsibility to regulate the flow of frack waste through a public sewage plant. The ruling gave regulatory authority over the frack waste sent to Warren's treatment plant to ODNR, even though ODNR's Mark Bruce says
the division never issued a permit to Patriot.
Bruce declined to say why. Patriot restarted sending its waste to the city plant anyway, and by 2014, when Hunter and Freshwater Accountability Project looked at monitoring records, the Warren City plant was having problems.
And it was all right there. Warren was clearly violating its discharge permit.
Tom Angelo had retired by then. Emails between the new director of Warren's treatment plant and the president of Patriot show the company was sending excessive levels of pollutants to the treatment plants, like lead and copper, and total dissolved solids, which includes salts known to come from frack waste.
He laid out in those emails that waste from Patriot was so high in TDS, so high in salts, that it was harming their ability to process their own waste.
Hunter says neither the city nor Ohio regulators were stopping Patriot. So Freshwater Accountability Project used a provision in the Clean Water Act that allows citizens to enforce the law.
And that's what we did. We filed a notice of intent to sue.
That was 2017, and within a month, Patriot stopped sending frack waste to Warren. The city settled out of court with the Freshwater Group earlier this year. The city services director declined to comment, but it still irks Tom Angelo.
A government is not in the business of putting business out of business.
But Leatra Harper says frack waste was harming the city's own treatment plant and potentially the drinking water for thousands of people downstream until her lawsuit.
Kind of as a last resort, of course, when all reason fails.
And now the U.S. EPA is shutting down this whole question. As of August 29th, the federal regulator is prohibiting public sewage plants across the country from accepting frack wastewater. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
While the growth in fracking has brought new energy sources and new economic development in some communities, it's also bringing new health concerns for people who live near gas infrastructure. In the final story of the series, Who's Listening?, the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant looks to the Utica Shale region, where some Ohio residents have taken it upon themselves to start a fracking health registry.
A dozen people are scurrying around a church basement in Youngstown, Ohio. They're arranging tables and chairs, setting up paperwork, and hanging up signs that read Ohio Health Registry.
Well, the Ohio Health Registry is really an attempt to collect the contacts of people who live close enough to any aspect of shale development that they might be affected.
This is Dr. Deborah Cowden, who started this effort. She's a family physician near Dayton and drove 3.5 hours east this morning to organize the registration. Cowden's group created a series of forms that take about 15 minutes to fill out.
This is the medical questionnaire, and I'm going to read some instructions first.
They ask people about their proximity to gas development and about current health symptoms, everything from levels of fatigue, nausea, and asthma, to cancer, mental health, as well as family health history. 60-year-old Martin Sinjenik, a truck driver, filled out the registration forms. He's heard about a new frack waste injection well being permitted near his home.
I live less than a mile from what they're building there, and I'm worried about it.
Sinjenik doesn't think the state is ensuring his drinking water well will be protected from contamination, but he doesn't know how the health registry will help.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. It might not do anything. I don't know.
More and more studies have been making connections between living near gas development and the risk of some health problems like headaches and anxiety, low birth weight babies, and even cancer. Cowden wants the health registry to provide data that will help further this kind of research as fracking continues to grow in the state.
If we're going to do this, why are we not attempting to keep track so that we might be able to help people if they have a problem?
Ohio regulators say they do respond to health concerns. Rebecca Fugit is Assistant Chief of the Bureau of Environmental Health and Radiation Protection at the Ohio Department of Health. Fugit says they just don't get many complaints from citizens about the fracking industry.
No, we only get maybe just, it's less than 5 a year. I mean, to be honest, it really is. We don't get very many.
The Ohio Department of Natural Resources, which regulates the oil and gas industry, also gets few complaints from people living near these operations. The Allegheny Front analyzed thousands of complaints by citizens to ODNR between 2009 and 2018 and found just 10 reporting headaches, rashes, and breathing problems. But ODNR did get more than 400 complaints about odors. Certain odors can indicate pollutants in the air. Fugit says the health department responds to citizens who think pollution from oil and gas development or anything else is harming their health.
And we work with them on a case-by-case basis to investigate their complaint, to collect environmental data as needed to, you know, respond to their concerns and determine if they have been exposed to any contaminants.
Fugit says Ohio tracks various health statistics, just not specifically in relation to fracking activity. And Pennsylvania and Colorado do have registries for people living near the oil and gas industry to report their health concerns. But some health advocates say they're not doing enough.
I'll tell it like it is. I think it's shameful.
That's Raina Ripple. She runs the Southwestern Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project. She wants the government to proactively collect community-wide health data on people in shale gas communities so it can better regulate the industry and protect public health. Her organization started a national health registry for fracking in 2017. An analysis of the first 100 to register found that people living within a quarter mile of gas development were more likely to report coughs, headaches, and anxiety compared with those a mile or more away. But she says this kind of data should be collected in a more systematic way.
I mean, we have to do our best, I'd say, to really fill in the gap. I think that this is really us, these small groups, these groups that don't have a lot of resources, doing the work that we know needs to be done. And hopefully the states and or the federal agencies will ultimately pick up the ball that they've dropped.
Marcellus Drilling News, an industry publication, criticized Ripple's project, writing that it encourages people to blame every headache and cough on gas development.
The medical questionnaire begins by asking about your past health.
Meanwhile, the Ohio group so far has 65 people on its registry and is hoping to reach 200 by the end of the year. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
This series, Who's Listening? About Fracking in Ohio, is supported by the Fund for Investigative Journalism and the Sears Sweatland Family Foundation. Thanks for joining us on the Allegheny Front. You can always find us on Facebook and Twitter at Allegheny Front. Kathy Naur is the executive producer of our show. I'm Carol Holsapple.
Support for the Allegheny Front comes from the Heinz Endowments, the Pittsburgh Foundation, the Colcom Foundation, the Park Foundation, and the Curtis and Edith Munson Foundation. The Richard King Mellon Foundation supports our coverage of conservation. Our Trump on Earth podcast is supported by the Robert F. Schuman Foundation.